Hey, welcome back to another Asterixar podcast, your favorite Pixar podcast.
Woo!
I'm your favorite person, Ethan, and with me is my favorite co-host, Kuji. What's up, Kuji?
I guess I'm not a favorite person.
No, only right. Favorite co-host.
I'll take it. It's fine.
It's not me. It's the audience. This is direct from the mouth of babes.
I gotta talk to these babes.
We got one so day. Many babes listening. That's our main demographic.
This is babes.
A1 top shelf babes.
Pixar babes.
So, we're going to talk about a couple of shorts today. We're going back to shorts. It's been far too long. And we're going back to the beginning. Right?
Well, now we're doing feature related shorts, which means they're going to reference our lovable, lovely feature length friends.
Lovable. Back to the first featured short is what I meant to say. Yeah. And so we've got two on the slate. Mm-hmm. We'll pop these out real quick. What's we got? We got Mike's new car. That's Monsters Universe, Monsters Inc. reference.
Yes.
And then we got Jack-Jack Attack from the Incrediables.
Mm-hmm. Les
Incrediables.
Yes.
Is that French?
You know, I wonder if they ever thought about making a Les Miserables with the Incredibles characters. I feel like that'd be a really good idea.
Yes, I think I'm sure that thought was floating around in someone's head there.
You know, I'm going to hit up Brad Bird. I'm going to give him a call.
Hey, Birdo.
Yeah, what's up, Bird?
I think his friends call him Birdo.
He probably has friends call him Birdo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. But we're not doing that one first. First, let's take care of this. Let's take care of this Mike's new car short.
Yeah.
From 2002.
Do you remember Mike? Mike Wazowski.
Mike Wazowski. Yeah. Back when they were adults again. So we're going back to the future.
Yep.
As it were. And this came out in 20. Oh, I said that already.
Fuck. Yeah, you did. 2022.
2002.
2042 Blade Runner.
Part of the DVD release with Monsters, Inc. Nominated for an Academy Award for Best Animated Short, and it definitely did not win because it sucks big dick.
It's definitely not a best of anything, really.
So here's the premise I'll put out to you babes, and you tell me if it's good.
Get those babes in on it.
So we're introduced back to our favorite Monsters and characters, Mike Wazowski and Sully Sullivan, voiced by Billy Crystal and John Goodman.
Yeah,
and
Sully
whole premise
Sullenberger.
Sully Sullerman.
Yeah.
Whole premise here is Mike Wazowski got a new car and he wants to show it off to Sully, and that's about it.
I mean, it's a short, I guess.
It's a short. Runtime 4 minutos.
But it's a classic. I mean, it's one of those tropes like, hey, I got a new thing. And the other person says, what was wrong with your old thing? And then they go, this is so much better. And then you go, and then you try to use it, but it's too confusing. And then hilarity ensues. Well, I wouldn't say hilarity, but something similar to hilarity adjacent ensues. And then, you know, all the gadgetry doesn't work. And then you should have stuck with the old car.
Yeah, just one of those, anything that can go wrong, does go wrong. One of those.
His car has six wheels. Got six-wheel drive. I guess it's a selling point.
Is that what he said? Six-wheel drive?
Yeah.
That's excessive. So I don't even remember his other car. Did he have a car in Monsters, Inc.?
Maybe. I thought they just, lived at the factory. I don't
I thought
know.
They just took a stroll. right downtown. Don't they live very close to their job? This is wasteful.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm sure that thing does not get good mileage.
You don't need three axles for a sedan. Come on.
Yeah, it's like a two-door. Or is it a sedan? Either one. Too many wheels. Like,
it's a coupe, then. Fine.
The coupe.
Sorry, my car jargon isn't... My Cargan.
Is it? Cargan.
The Cargans.
Do you still have a car? Do you have the Malibuya still?
I do. Zed. My Malibu.
Zed. Okay, so...
He currently...
Yeah.
I was going to say, he currently... the computer's broken, so it thinks my seatbelt isn't buckled ever, so it beeps at me constantly. It's getting kind of annoying.
Oh, God, that sounds like a nightmare.
And the fuel gauge is broken, and all the other gauges are pretty much broken.
Yeah, time to throw the whole car out.
Yep. Well, or pay $600 to get it replaced, but... like
$600? Yeah.
I'll get there,
I guess though. As long as you can deal.
I got so many things before that.
Well, it sounds like you're the kind of guy who names his car. That's a thing you've always done in your life?
Just this one. Well.
Oh, okay.
My first car was, I guess I gave it a nickname. It was a Saturn, but there was no model number. And... Mm-hmm. So my friends just make fun of me and call it a Saturn nothing. So I guess that counts.
Okay. Just the nothing.
Yeah, Saturn nothing. How about you?
No, I think there's two people in this world. One's people who give their cars a nickname and sane people.
Why do you say that?
I'm just kidding. I don't know. I never was creative enough, I guess, to think of a good name for my cars.
You know, I'm in a school of thought that it just kind of comes to you. It's not something you can really like. It's like a nickname. You can't give yourself a nickname. It has to organically get there, you know?
That's true. Well, I did think my first car looked kind of like Sonic the Hedgehog, but I never really gave it that nickname, but...
It
looks like Sonic.
Was it blue in a circle?
It was blue. There were curves to it. It wasn't a complete circle. That'd be a weird design for a car. Right. It also had like kind of a... I think it had like a rack on top, so it kind of looked like spines, like a hedgehog.
I'm liking this.
You're liking this?
Me liking this.
My current car looks kind of like a tick. So...
The Tick?
Is that.
Starring Patrick Warburton?
It's not blue, though.
No.
So we can't go off that.
Time to repaint.
This is car talk.
Yes.
Was it clink and clank?
Yeah, clank and clank. Ratchet and clank.
Crank and yank?
Yeah. Crang and crank.
Yeah, this short was a real cranker.
Yeah,
if that's the term.
I think that implies you like cranked off to it, but
yeah, it does kind of sound like that, doesn't it? The only funny gag, I like, they get in the car and Sully's all cramped up because he's such a big dude, which poses the question, like, I mean, these cars have to be all sorts of weird shapes in this universe, because like the body shapes of these monsters varies wildly.
Yeah, none of them are the same.
But then he adjusts his seat and he just keeps going down until he's like all the way in the ground. And I don't know. That was the best part, I guess.
Yeah, besides that, it really was uneventful.
It's just one of those things where you're just watching Billy Crystal get progressively angrier until he crashes the car out of his ineptitude. Probably a bad depth perception with just that one eye, right?
It can't be good.
Yeah, I'm sure it can't be good.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. I was a little disappointed with this.
It's just a real real paint-by-numbers
yeah.
kind of shtick.
I don't know if we're gonna start seeing a pattern of this in the related shorts, because I feel like the
pattern of not goodness.
Well, there's a real opportunity to be, you know, like supplementary to a good IP that's already there. I mean, like the Cars one's gonna suck, obviously, but yeah. This one, like, you could have made like a cool little side story thing that's like relevant to the plot. So I don't know. Whatever. It was adequate.
Yeah, and I mean, these are, I don't really know the purpose of these. I guess just to maybe to sell the DVD, so get a little something extra.
Yeah, like a little DVD extra.
So this one, yeah, definitely so far not a great start to this trend. I'm glad we're starting.
Well, we'll have to tough it out but, for you.
Well, the next one kind of fits the mold you're talking about here with Jack Attack. 2005 short with The Incredibles, because it does kind of fit within the plot of the movie The Incredibles.
Yes.
And gives you a little bit, like a little peek behind the curtain to like some other, you know, ancillary things happening during the events of the movie. So what happens in this one, if you remember, Jack the baby is babysat by some babysitter, Kari. And in The Incredibles, you don't really see what's happening. The only insight you get into what's happening with the two of them is Kari is leaving a bunch of voicemails on Elastigirl's voicemail, and they're getting progressively crazier because Jack, as we know, has insane powers.
So he has all the powers, I think.
He's got all the powers. Yeah, he's got even more powers in this than I thought he had. Which was a shock.
Yeah. Good to know for the upcoming movie.
Oh, yeah. For The Deuce coming out this summer? Next summer?
Sure.
We know things.
Yeah, I'll tell you in a second. Yeah. June 15th.
Yeah, you look it up. There you go. June 15th. Be there. So, this one, the conceit is that the babysitter is relating this story to Rick Dicker, the Dick Ricker, who is the government agent who aids the supers in maintaining their anonymity. So he's asking her what's happening, and she's relaying the night, and it's basically she's watching Jack, and then everything's going fine, and she decides to have a little brain session with the baby, neurological stimulation, she refers to it as. And what happens here is she plays Mozart's Piano Sonata number 11, and according to the canon here, Jack has an epiphany, and that's what awakens his superpowers. What do you think of that little story detail for his origin story?
That's pretty great. Every baby needs an origin story. That you know, that makes me very happy.
Oh, it makes you happy? That's good.
Yeah. Brighten my day a little bit.
Yeah, I guess that's interesting. I didn't think, because in the movie, I don't know, Incredibles, he just one day has powers, I guess. So this is kind of a good fill-in for why that would be. I mean, I guess it makes some sense. Get that brain power working, listen to Mozart.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the short is basically Kari just trying to keep up with Jack and all his insane powers. One of which includes teleportation, which I did not know was part of his repertoire.
He's got teleportation. He's got fire, which we saw.
Mm-hmm.
He has laser vision.
Yeah.
Which can be reflected off a mirror, so it's not like, it's no like Cyclops, like X-Men dude. It's just like, I don't know.
Can Cyclopses not be reflected off of a mirror?
I feel like it would just blow up a mirror.
It's too powerful?
Well, I guess, well, it depends, because it actually is a laser. And lasers are just light. So would light just reflect off a mirror? I don't know science.
That's what I think.
Call the Cyclops scientist. is like maybe it's not, well, because damn it, I know I brought the science into it.
Yeah, you brought this up. You got to finish it.
It's like, what does laser even stand for? It's like light as...
Light, awesome, oh.
Yeah, lights, awesome, super, excellent, rad. Laser. No, laser is...
Tell me.
Light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. So, damn. You know what? His eyes could be a laser. It's just, well, mm-hmm. he'd have to have radioactive eyes that can also emit light, which is something eyes can't do because they just take it in and interpret it. But, you know what? Maybe he's a superhero. That Mozart gets your eyes working. He ate his carrots. It's great.
Drank his milk. Yeah. So did that answer our question? It did not.
No, not really. But
okay.
I think lasers use mirrors. So, you know what? I'd say maybe he just has baby lasers right now, like training lasers. And he'll work his way up to full size.
That's a good way around it. They're powerful enough to singe the wood framing of the house, but
yeah, the house is just donezo.
Totally fucked. Yeah, once he starts becoming Fire Baby, which I liked because they start playing like hellish music as he's running around. Then I really like how they, when he's a little Fire Baby, he's still like the shape of the baby with like a happy face on. He's just running around burning shit down. Really wonderful. And he only becomes Fire Baby when Kari shows him a flashcard of a campfire. So I guess he's smart enough to recognize what a campfire is. I don't know.
He's a bright kid. Yeah.
Look at you.
And then Syndrome comes by and does his little spiel and steals the baby like we know from the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, he comes by and convinces her he's another sitter because the S on his chest stands for sitter, he says.
I mean, convincing her, more like she volunteers it and he's like, yeah!
Yeah, that's true. At this point, it's been a full day of her with the baby, and she's lost her mind.
Yeah, she's moments from taking death.
Yeah. She learned the laser trick, the mirror, and she has a fire extinguisher to put out the Fire Baby, but she's at her wit's end. So, yeah, that's where we then pick up with the other movie. She calls Elastigirl and says, oh, thanks for sending the other sitter. And that's when Elastigirl knows that, you know, there's issues. So they go back and, find Syndrome hanging out with the baby.
And then Jack turned into a lead baby then a monster baby.
Yeah. I hope the next one has a lot of Jack because he's fun.
One thing that I was reading that makes me very happy, at the end of The Incredibles 1, there's a new enemy. His name is the Underminer. Voiced by the great and wonderful John Ratzenberger.
Friend of the pod.
It appears as if he's going to be starting the next movie right where it left off. So he'll be in the movie more than usual, more than a little cameo, which makes me just so excited.
Warms your cockles?
Yeah. Yes, I guess.
Yeah, I'm guessing what they're going to do is just have it like that's the cold open. They're going to beat him up, and then that's going to have the intro, but...
It better fucking not be that. Don't even put that in my mind. Now I'm thinking about that now.
Oh, no. I've cooled your cockles.
If he is not in the full movie, I'm going to get a refund. I'm going to walk out, and I'm going to say, no! Where's John?
Give me my money back.
Yes. I'll write a letter to Brad Bird, and I'll tell him.
Yeah, come on, Birdo.
Yeah.
We need more Ratzenberger. Why can't he just be the star?
He looks like a bird.
Maybe we should write directly to Ratzenberger. Be like, hey, babe.
You know what, we probably... But, I mean, does he have the negotiating... Well, yeah. He's John Ratzenberger.
He'd be probably just johnratzenberger@gmail.com.
Should try
to email him tonight.
And, you know, just say, hey, tell Pete Doctor and Brad Bird, and if John Lasseter is not in prison by now, tell him you need to be in movies more, at least for 5 minutes a movie.
Yeah, you need more than two lines of dialogue.
Yeah.
At least 10 to 15.
I don't want Easter egg Ratzenberg, but I want character.
Yeah, well, you need him right in the meat. Yeah. In the heart of the story.
We should email him, Ratzenberger, we need more of your meat. We need that meat.
Give me that burger.
Yeah. He'll probably send unflattering pictures and it'll get really weird.
You think so? Oh man.
I don't know how flirtatious John Ratzenberger is, but
I'll put it on our Twitter.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know what? Get him some much needed attention.
Any other attention needed to these two shorts?
I don't think so. I would like to say, on the last pod, I mentioned...
Ooh, correction.
I mentioned... I confused Peter Siegel with someone who was not Peter Siegel. And I'm very sorry that I'm not as good at NPR as I thought. But I listened to it today. So, you know what?
So who was the correction? You said Peter Siegel was in Inside Out?
Yeah, it was... Who was
but it?
But
it wasn't Peter Siegel.
It wasn't.
It was Terry Gross.
If Terry Gross is in that movie, I would shit my pants. Let's see.
Yeah, why are you looking that up?
Oh,
wrap these up here.
I don't know what I did. I messed it up. Different guy.
Jesus.
And I was wrong.
You come back with the correction, and you don't even have the full correction?
I had a correction, but it's just...
Jesus. Oof.
Just I still don't know who it is. But the other guy was on NPR. I know that. He just, wait, don't tell me. And then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's Peter Sagal, not Peter Siegel.
God damn it. It doesn't matter. Support your... Get a nice NPR tote, okay? There we go.
Yeah,
that's
support
my plug.
Your local. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, and speaking of totes, by the time this pod comes up, I'm going to make ourselves an Asterix our official t-shirt, and it'll be up on Teespring.
Ooh.
More details to follow when I figure out if it looks good. I purchased one for myself. Let's see how it comes out, and then we'll put it up on Teespring, and I'll put more deets in the next pod and on the Twitter, which is @AsterixR, AsterixR.
All right. Anything else you got?
What are we doing next week? Or not next week, but next time.
Well, next week, I'm working most of the week and, you know, stuff like that. I got a new job, you know.
Yeah. We both have jobs. This isn't paying the bills.
Hey, we both got some jobs.
Until those t-shirts start flying off the shelves, then we can both retire.
Oh, yeah. We'll get a Patreon. It'll be great.
Oh, yeah. It's got a Patreon. And a Twitch. Can we set up a Twitch? Watch us record this fucking podcast.
You know what? I wouldn't mind that. I feel like I love being watched. Maybe that's too much information. All right. The next feature is The Good Dinosaur, a movie that I think I didn't even know existed until this podcast.
Yeah, I'm real excited for that one.
Are you?
So, no, not at all.
Oh shit,
but
Sam Elliott's in it. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay. Time for Sam Elliott report. Alright, well, we'll come back next time with that. Keep your eyes on the feed for updates. Subscribe, comment, and keep your eyes up for those t-shirts. Those are going to be selling out like hotcakes.
Uh-huh.
That's it. Smell you later.
Bye! Ratzenberger, we need more of your meat.